ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यम ओम शांति 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 ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः गुणत्रय विभागयोगो नाम चतुर्दशोऽध्यायः श्री भगवानुवाच रजसि प्रलयं गत्वा कर्मसंगिषु जायते तथा प्रलीनस्तमसि मूढयोनिषु जायते रजसि प्रलयं गत्वा कर्मसंगिषु जायते तथा प्रलीनस्तमसि मूढयोनिषु जायते. See, one thing we have to remember in this chapter, what Bhagavan makes it clear is, all of us have all three gunas. Not only all of us, every being in this world has everything in this world, every creature in this world has three gunas. Why? Because every being and every living creature, non-living thing, every living being here is endowed with the physical form, developed or underdeveloped or undeveloped or different physical forms, and all those forms, nothing but material in nature. Therefore, anything which is material in nature must have all the three gunas. So all of us in general have all three gunas, but still it is possible for one to be predominantly sattvic mentally. One can be predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic also. Different occasions, all of us have predominance of the different gunas. In the night time, when we all feel very sleepy and tired, and then that time, even a highly sattvic person is predominantly tamasic. Tamoguna is predominant that time. When you get up fresh from sleep, even a tamasic person has predominance of sattvaguna in the morning. Like that, in different occasions, different timings of the day also, we have different gunas being predominant in us. But still, generally, there's a predominance of gunas. And finally, we saw the last verse, the 15th verse. Even a person who is predominantly tamasic or rajasic, living one's life without taking care of one's becoming predominantly sattvic, if a person lives his life and that person happens to be predominantly some tamasic person, when he leaves the physical body, he dies as a predominantly tamasic person. What happens to him? He goes to, you know, mudayonis. He will not be born in this human, the world of human beings. He cannot go to higher lokas. Then he will be born again. But where? Mudayonishu. In totally deluded beings means beings of very, very inferior caliber. Lower order, inferior order, animals, birds, plants, etc. Which means, why? Because there, they can only exhaust the papa karma. They can only exhaust the papa karma. Being born into the beings of inferior order, what can beings do? They can only exhaust their papa karma. They cannot accumulate new punyam or new papam also. Mudayoni means they will be completely ignorant, because no animal has knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, not having the knowledge of self-existence itself is what? Remaining steeped in total ignorance. That is the situation for people who leave, depart when remaining predominantly tamasic. When a person leaves, they can take it for granted they'll be born as animals or plants, and where they will be there without having the knowledge of self-existence. So they will not be able to attain anything. They will only be exhausting their papa karma. Suppose a person leaves the physical body when he is predominantly rajasic, then naturally, a person who is predominant, when there is a predominance of rajoguna at the time of departure, then that person naturally has to fulfill a lot of his desires. Accordingly, he'll be born into the world of human beings, which means so that where he can use his willpower and he can fulfill his desires, he can be very active. This is the difference. What happens to a person when he leaves the physical body entertaining the predominance of rajoguna or tamoguna? That is what is said in this verse. And here what is being said is a fact. Okay, that is why taking care of our minds is very, very important. It's not about, I'm not tamasic. Of course, all of us do have tamas, must have tamas. All of us must have rajas. All of us must have sattva. All three gunas are naturally there in all of us, but still, mentally, are we predominantly sattvic or not? It is natural. Not being sattvic is very natural. But the whole life should help us to become mentally predominantly sattvic. Only then we will be qualified for the attainment of jnanam. We will be able to enjoy the benefit of the jnanam. Even subtle understanding will be possible. Therefore, the whole teaching is for us to convert ourselves predominantly sattvic beings. So to drive away this satamas, one must become physically active, one must live a life of karma yoga, do one's duty, so tamas will go. Then that will make a person rajasic, and being rajasic, being active also, because of the commitment to dharma, gradually person can become predominantly sattvic. So living a life of karma yoga will help a person to drive away the tamas and to gradually to prepare himself to become predominantly sattvic. So karma yoga does two things, okay? Living life of karma yoga, what does it do? It helps you drive away the tamas. Then it helps you to prepare yourself to become to sattvic. Which means you will be rajasic so that you can move on to sattvic. So from being tamasic, a person cannot have a big leap and become overnight sattvic person. A predominantly sattvic minded person, one cannot become. That's why karma yoga is always emphasized. Now, we'll move on to the next new verse. 16th verse. Karmanas sukrutasyahuhu sattvikam nirmalam phalam. Karmanas sukrutasyahuhu sattvikam nirmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukkham ajnanam tamasah phalam karmanas sukrutasyahuhu sattvikam nirmalam phalam rajasastu sukham rajasastu phalam dukkham ajnanam tamasah phalam karmanas sukrutasyahuhu sattvikam nirmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukkham ajnanam tamasah phalam. So here again says, what is the benefit? What is the fruit that is enjoyable in keeping with the predominance of the guna? What is the fruit? what is the benefit enjoyable in keeping with the predominance of the guna? Sukrutasya karmanaha phalam. Sukrutasya karmanaha phalam. Nirmalam phalam sattvikam ahuhu. What is the sattvikam phalam? What is the sattvic benefit? What is the sattvic result? He says, first we see now sattvikam phalam. Whether we are interested in sattvikam phalam or rajasam phalam or tamasam phalam. What is the fruit? What is the type of benefit that you want? Sattvic result, jasik or tamasik? Here Shastram says, first thing, sukrutasya karmanaha. Sukrutam karma means righteous action. An action which does not transgress the universal values. An action which is in conformity with dharma is a sukrutam karma. Karma is an akaranta shabda. Napusakalinga shabda. Therefore, karmanaha, sukrutasya karmanaha means sukrutasya karmanaha phalam. The fruit of righteous action. The fruit of righteous action, the fruit of the action which is not against the universal values, the fruit of the action which does not transgress the universal values, the fruit of the action which is in conformity with the universal values is what phalam? Sukrutasya karmanaha phalam. Such a phalam, such a fruit, the result of righteous action is nirmalam phalam. Is a pure result, the pure, thereby, that is what is now punya phalam. Nirmalam here means punya phalam. Punya means what? The result of right action. The result of righteous action, right action is punyam phalam, pure result. Punyam phalam is said to be sukrutam phalam. If we earn punyam, that punyam is what? Through our righteous activities, that's called sattvikam phalam. Okay, if we do anything, if you pray, if you worship, if you do any charitable activity, and if you do not go against dharma, and if you definitely you do earn some punyam, result of right action, otherwise said to be punyam, whoever earns any amount of punyam, that punyam is said to be a sattvikam phalam, a sattvic fruit. Okay. Rajasastu phalam dukkham. Suppose if there is any worry, any pain, any sorrow, any degree of grief, an emotional turmoil a person goes through, dukkham. Why there is a dukkham? Sometimes the result of action becomes a dukkham. Not exactly the result of act. As the given action you perform becomes instrumental and for which there is a result. Okay. The action you perform becomes instrumental and through which there is a result manifests and you go through some pain. That if a pain is there as a result of an action, maybe that there is a given reason for that result. Why dukkham comes? Why sorrow comes? Why there is a grief? Why there is sadness? Why there is some sort of restlessness, agitation, burden, unpleasantness? Such a result is also, even though it is not directly the present action's result, somewhere there is a reason for such a pain. Some cause is there. Unknowingly or knowingly must have been done some time ago. Sometime that karma must, there's a reason. It's definitely it's a karma phalam. Whenever we go through any mental problem, emotional pain, doesn't matter where, when, how, that definitely there is a cause behind it. And that cause is what? Definitely karma phalam only. Papa karma phalam alone manifests in the form of our pain. When dukkham becomes the karma phalam, that is what? Rajasam phalam. It's called Rajasam phalam. If a pain, emotional pain, sorrow, any degree of sorrow a person goes through mentally, that is a result of some papa karma. We call it what? It's called rajasam phalam. Rajasic fruit of an action. Rajasam phalam. So papa karma phalam, papa phalam alone gets translated into the experience of pain, which is called rajasam phalam. Okay, then dukkham rajasaha tu phalam dukkham. Then tamasaha phalam ajnanam. Tamasaha phalam ajnanam. Suppose the fruit of an action which contributes for one to remain ignorant, naive, and even not being able to use one's willpower. Suppose if you do not have any willpower, then if you do not have any jnanam, such a condition, not having willpower, not having knowledge of self-existence, is what? Result of the some papa karma, but still it's called tamasa. It's a tamasic result. Already we have seen tamasic result. Tamasam phalam. It's called tamasam phalam. Tamasam phalam, the fruit of an action which results in remaining ignorant and losing one's free will, is said to be tamasam phalam, tamasic benefit, tamasic fruit of an action, rajasic fruit of an action, then sattvic fruit of an action. So, if we have to become predominantly sattvic mentally, we must be able to accumulate sattvic fruits, sattvic phalam, sattvic benefits, which means we must perform our actions consciously in conformity with dharma. Of course, what we have done before, previously, doesn't matter. But what we are doing now, using our free will, using our knowledge of right and wrong, if we are consciously doing only righteous actions, we try to avoid the wrong actions, then this present, that's a sattvikam karma, righteous action, sattvikam karma, will produce in due course of time sattvikam phalam. Otherwise, if we are not conscious of our right and wrong, if we are mechanically, if we do our actions in not being conscious of right or wrong, and then if we do go against dharma, in due course of time, we accumulate more and more and more papam, that will result in having an birth of inferior being that will contribute for being born as an animal or a plant, and where we will lose our knowledge of self-existence, where we will remain steeped in total ignorance, where we will not have even willpower also. It's called tamasam phalam. Okay. Sukrutasya karmanaha phalam nirmalam phalam sattvikam ahuhu. Rajasaha tu phalam dukkham. Tamasaha phalam ajnanam. So, by repeating this, what is taught here is, indirectly living a life of karma yoga is emphasized. Living a life of karma yoga means you are very clear about the purpose of living your life. You're committed to the pursuit of jnanam. You have purushartha nischayaha, and you're conscious of not going against the universal values. You're consciously living a life of values, which means your will is rendered to Bhagavan. Therefore, all your actions are consciously done, so that whatever at present you go through, that is ajasam phalam. Any pain you go through is okay. At least consciously, what is being done now, you are consciously living a life of values. Therefore, that's the only way you can convert your Rajasic, Rajasic results into Sattvic results, so that you can become predominantly Sattvic minded. That is how one can become qualified for Jnanam also. That is what indirectly it is taught now through the predominant in keeping with the gunas, predominance of gunas. Okay, next verse. Therefore, we have to change our very way of life. What should I do to have Sattvikam Phalam? What should I do to avoid Rajasic results? What should I do? My God, I should definitely avoid Tamasic result. What should I do? Live your life consciously, in conformity with Dharma, with the proper attitude. Live a life of Karma Yoga, which is the Vedic way of life. That is the simple lessons here, but repeatedly emphasized. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobhayevacha. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobhayevacha. Pramada moho tamaso bhavato jnanamevacha. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobhayevacha. Pramada moho tamaso bhavato jnanamevacha. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobhayevacha. Pramada moho tamaso bhavato jnanamevacha. Okay. Here, sattvat jnanam sanjayate. It's a simple Sanskrit sentence you all can make out. Sattvat, sattvam, apasakalingi shabdha. Sattvat, phalat, like sattvat means sattvagunat. Sattvaguna becomes the reason, the hate. If a person has predominantly sattvaguna, then sattvagunat, jnanam sanjayate. See, not only after spiritual wisdom, even to have intellectual sharpness required for understanding anything quickly, a person must be sattvic. We say bright minded, brilliant minded, very sharp, very shrewd, very intelligent. We say all that sometimes. That is because I sattvaguna. Okay. So sometimes people may be brilliant also, but maybe be cunning and bad people also. That's a different problem. We'll see later on. But generally, if a person has to have spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, even mental development required for spiritual wisdom, that is possible only if a person has predominantly sattvic mind. Sattvat jnanam labhate. Jnanam jayate. Knowledge rises. Knowledge is born as a result of having predominance of sattvaguna. Sattvat, out of sattva, jnanam sanjayate. Rajasaha lobahacha. Now, rajas is akaranta shabda. Therefore, rajasaha. What is the case form of rajas? Rajasaha. Rajasaha. From rajas. What does it mean? From rajas means what? Rajas is the nimittam. Rajas is the cause. If rajas is predominant, that is when that there is the lobha, greed, desire, passion, greed. They're all symptoms of one having predominantly rajasic in nature. Rajasaha lobha rajasaha lobaha jayate eva cha. That cha is and. Rajasaha lobaha eva jayate. So out of rajas, as a result of having predominance of rajoguna, then there rises, there is born lobaha, greed. Okay. Then tamasaha, because of tamas, what happens? Tamasaha, out of tamas, or as a result of having predominance of tamas, happens what? Pramadaha, mohaha, cha. Pramadaha, pullinga shabdaha. Mohaha, pullinga shabdaha. Together, pramada mohau. Like Rama Lakshmanau, pramada mohau bhavataha. Pramadaha bhavati, mohaha bhavati, pramada mohau bhavataha. Pramada happens and moha happens, takes place. What is pramadaha here? So pramadaha, in fact, indifference, negligence. And mohaha, delusion, lack of discriminative understanding. Pramadaha mohaha cha bhavataha. This pramada happens, moha happens, delusion happens. So we can make out, wherever there is delusion and negligence, indifference, it is because of the predominance of tamoguna. It's a general, it's all general understanding. Then not only that, one more thing also happens. Ajnanam evacha. Of course, ignorance also will be there. Not only pramadaha, mohaha, bhavataha, also ajnanam. Also there will be ignorance. Of course, even a sattvic minded person also can be ignorant. But definitely, this predominantly tamasic minded person will continue to remain in ajnanam. And as a result of ajnanam, ignorance, there will be delusion. As a result of delusion, there will be indifference, there will be negligence. There will be ashraddha. Means even faithlessness will be possible. So here, sattvatu sanja, jnanam sanjayate, rajasaha lobha evacha, tamasaha pramada mohau bhavataha, ajnanam evacha. So three factors are given as a result of having predominance of tamoguna. What are three factors? Pramadaha, mohaha and ajnanam. For Raja specifically mentioned lobaha. Greed, what is greed? Greed implies two other factors. Desire and anger. And sattva sanjayate jnanam. So if there's predominance of guna, naturally it will contribute for even the rising of knowledge. This is the general. So one fact is repeated here. What will be the consequence of these gunas? In keeping with the predominance of the gunas, the consequence also will be different. We have already seen what are the three benefits, three fruits of the gunas. How there's a difference in enjoyment of benefit in keeping with the predominance of the gunas. We saw that. Similarly, same thing it is mentioned here. Sattvatu sanjayate jnanam. If a person is predominantly sattvic in nature, naturally his intellect will be sharper. His sense organs will also be much clearer, much brighter. So it is possible for a person to understand, to learn, to grasp the teaching. Not only the spiritual wisdom, also the worldly knowledge. So in keeping with the better quality of instruments, see, in keeping with the predominance of gunas, a person will have better quality of instruments. All of us have eyes, all of us have ears, all of us have nose, all of us have tongue, all of us have panchajnanendriyani, all of us have intellectual capacity, buddhi, but still there will be difference in the capacity of the instruments. Thereby, there will be difference in accumulation of knowledge also. That is why the knowledge will increase, you know, in bounds. So it is possible for one to have even spiritual wisdom. That is why one must be, take care of one sattva-guna. One has to work to become predominantly sattvic. And that is possible only when a person lives a life of karma yoga. Okay, the next is rajasaha lobaha sanjayate. See, if there's no rajoguna at all, only when a person has predominance of rajoguna, it is possible for a person to have more desires, more ambitions, and the more he will plan, more he will scheme, the more he can, when the greed is possible. Which means the person who is predominantly rajasic cannot become inclined for jnanam. And the whole life will be spent only for fulfilling his desires, fulfilling his ambitions. That is how it is. That is why even if a person is predominantly rajasic, if he lives the life of karma yoga, that will help him to convert himself from being predominantly rajasic to sattvic. Why karma yoga? Understand? I have to connect that also here. It is very important for a person to be predominantly rajasic. But when you are rajasic, you can be active, but if you are living life of karma yoga, you are active, but at the same time, you are righteous. Thereby, in due course of time, it is possible for one to convert oneself into a predominantly sattvic person. That is why this is emphasized here. The whole same teaching is repeated. So, tamasaha pramadamoho sanjayate. Tamoguna is predominant. Naturally, there will be laziness, there will be delusion, there will be indifference, there will be dullness, mental dullness, and people can forget. It is easy for people to forget things because dull and procrastination, not being able to do everything, omitting things, and always as a split in the personality, not being able to decide things correctly, the conflict, confusion, all this is because of the predominance of tamoguna. So it is not wrong. It is not for us to judge and to say who is predominantly satamasika or rajasika. It is for us to understand our own situation, condition, so that we can make all possible efforts to convert ourselves from being a tamasic into rajasic. That's why, what should a tamasic person do? He should make all possible efforts to live a life of karma yoga. He must know his duties and he must do his duties in conformity with dharma. That's the only way he can gradually convert himself into a predominantly rajasic person. And when continues his lifestyle as a karma yogi, in due course of time, it will contribute for him to become sattvic also. That is why these teachings are repeated here. Okay. Now, in the following, we are going to see here.
Urdham gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vritti tisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha. Now, having understood the benefits of the benefits enjoyable in keeping with the predominance of the gunas, okay, we understood in the previous verses. Now we are going to see in the following this verse again. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha. Sattvasthaha means you can see sattve tishtanti sattvasthaha. Sattve ye tishtanti te sattvasthaha. Those who remain in sattva are said to be sattvasthaha. Those who remain in sattva means what? People who are predominantly sattvic. Predominantly mentally sattvic. Okay, predominantly sattvic minded. Sattvasthaha means sattvikaha janaha. Sattvasthaha means sattvikaha. Sattvic people are predominantly sattvic. Those who would have lived a life of karma yoga, those who would have been prayerful, those who would have been worshipful, thereby who have converted themselves gradually from being rajasic into sattvic. Such people, sattvikaha, what happen? They only perform sattvikaha, do not do any papa karma. So they perform only punya karma. It means their actions are all governed by dharma. They consciously, people who are predominantly sattvic live a life of karma yoga, perform their duties consciously in conformity with dharma, and they're worshipful and prayerful. Therefore, they earn punyam and punyam and punyam and punyam, abundance of punyam. Suppose if those people also are given to the study of the scriptures, study of the shastram, then if they then expose this proper shastra teaching, it is possible for them to attain jnanam, to attain jivan muktihi. Otherwise, suppose if even people who earn abundance of punyam, but they have not attained jnanam, then they only perform actions in conformity with dharma, they worship and pray so that they earn abundance of punyam. And being ajnani sattvikaha, okay, ignorant people but still sattvikaha, predominantly sattvic minded, what happens to them when they die? Those people go to higher lokas. Urdhvam gacchanti. Urdhva means upari gacchanti. They go to, urdhva means they go above. Urdhva means above. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha. Sattvikaha purushaha. Urdhvam gacchanti. They go above means they go to higher lokas. Okay. Bhuvaha, suvaha, mahaha, tapaha, janaha, satyaha. We have higher lokas. They go to higher lokas. Where they cannot exhaust, they cannot earn new punyam, but they can exhaust the punyam. And when the punyam gets exhausted, they'll be born again into this world of human beings. Suppose a person goes to satya loka, he can attain even videha mukti. He can attain even krama mukti. But what happens to people who are predominantly rajasic? Those people, rajasic people, of course, they'll be ignorant people and madhyasthaha. madhye tishtanti iti madhyastaha. So people who are predominantly rajasic, when they already we have seen, they remain in the bhuloka. It's a middle. Madhye means madhye tishtanti means they remain in this middle. What is in middle? Middle means there are seven worlds above, the seven below, and in between we have this what? Bhuloka is in the middle. The world of mortals, the world of human beings is said to be Madhya Loka. They neither go to worlds below, nor do they go to worlds above. They remain in the middle world. Madhyastaha. Madhyastaha means they remain in this world of human beings, where they can exhaust their both Punya Papa Karma Phalams. They can also accumulate new Punya Papa. Okay, Madhyastaha. Then, Tamasaha, the people who are predominantly tamasic, okay, the tamasic people, adaha gacchanti, adho gacchanti means adaha gacchanti. Adaha is also an indicable word. Adaha gacchanti, they go below, they go to lower worlds. Atala, vitala, sutala, talatala, mahatala, patala. They go to lower locus. Don't ask me whether how the life is there. I have no clue about that. Okay? And we don't know how the life is there. But Shastram talks about it. One thing is made very clear. If you go to low, adha gacchanti, urdhvam gacchanti. They go above. Who go above? Who go below? Who remain in the middle? We have choice. We can choose to go above. We can choose to go below. We can choose to remain in the same place. If we take care of our gunas, adaha gacchanti, they go to lower lokas, or they can even assume what it means implies is, can assume even the bodies of inferior beings, like animals and plants. Okay. Then, jaghanya guna vrittistaha. Jaghanya guna vrittistaha. Vritti means, here, vritti means function, activity. Jaghanya, here the vritti does not mean thought. Okay? Jaghanya guna vrittihi. Jaganya guna vritti means very, very activities of inferior caliber in keeping with the inferior guna. Jaganya guna vritti staha. People who involve themselves even in very, very mean activities. Such people, tamasaha, what do they do? Adaha gacchanti, they go to the lower worlds. So, we have totally chaturdasha bhuvanani. Let me tell you. Chaturdasha bhuvanani. Chaturdasha lokaha. There are 14 worlds. Okay. After 14, bhu lokaha is the 7 above, 7 below. 7 below, the 7 above are what? Starts with the bhuloka. The 7 above are divided into 3 as bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha. Bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha are nothing but 3 worlds. Okay. 7 are said to be 3. Bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha. Bhuloka, bhuvarloka, suvarloka, maharloka, tapoloka, janaloka, satyaloka. Okay. Satya is the highest of the 14 worlds. We don't even know any other worlds, okay? Highest of the 14 worlds is Satyaloka. There's no loka beyond Satyaloka. The highest of the lokas. Suppose if a person has abundance of punya earned as a result of practicing meditation, performance of rituals and worship, etc., etc., that person alone can go to highest of Satyaloka, from where a person can attain even Kramamuktihi without even returning. Otherwise, going to any other loka, a person will not earn new punya papa. He'll exhaust his punyam And when the punyam gets exhausted, he will be born again into this world of human beings. This is what is said. But to go to any other loka other than Goloka, a person must have only punyam, no papam at all. And who can earn only punyam? Only predominantly sattvic person. Okay? A predominantly sattvic minded, sattvasthaha, sattva guna, sattvikaha janaha, they alone can earn punyam to be able to go to higher lokas. Urdvam gacchanti sattvikaha. Sattvikaha will also be eligible to attain jnanam if they expose the proper pramana, expose the teaching, proper teacher and the teaching. It is possible for them to attain jnanam and attain kramam, attain jivan mukti here itself. Whereas madhyasthaha, no, rajasaha madhye tishtanti. The people who are predominantly rajasic naturally will always be involving themselves in activities. They must be earning both punyam and papam, knowingly or unknowingly, as a result of which they will be born as human beings and they will be living in this bhuloka, which is in between. Suppose tamasaha, because they're ignorant, because they're dull, because they do not have dharma, dharma, viveka, they cannot think properly, then naturally having wrong goals through wrong means, when they do wrong activities, even jaghanya guna vrittistaha, and what, they cannot earn any punyam, earning only papam, they'll go to even inferior, lower lokas. Adaha gacchanti tamasaha. What are the adaha? After bhuloka, we have atala, vitala, sutala, talatala, mahatala, rasatala, patala. Just the names, okay? Don't worry about all those things. They will all be going to other lower lokas. One good thing is what? Yadi madhye tishtanti valangude, escape. Then it is possible for the people who are predominantly rajasic and who remain in the middle world as human being, they have possibility of becoming sattvic. They have possibility of earning punyam, possibility of becoming, even attaining jnanam and moksha also. This is what happens. These are all subtle facts revealed by the Shastram. Nanyam. Now we'll see the next verse. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvasthaha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittisthaha adho gacchanti tamasaha nanyam gune vyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati nanyam gune vyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gune vyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gacchati nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. The very beautiful verse, important verse. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhi gacchati.
Now see, drashta anupashyati. Drashta anupashyati. Drashta subject, anupashyati verb. Drashta means seer. Rikaranta pullinga shabdaha, drashtru shabdaha. Drashta anupashyati. The seer clearly sees. Pashyati means sees. Anupashyati, he very clearly sees. Okay, he sees what? Drashta anupashyati. Kartaram anupashyati. Okay, the seer sees very clearly the doer. Who is the doer? What does it mean? The seer sees the doer very clearly means the seer understands the doer. He sees definitely the doer. The doer is none other than these gunas. The what which is actually involved in activities, the physical body, which is nothing but modification of the prakriti. Prakriti guna, now modification of matter is called gunaha. Physical body is a prakriti gunaha. Physical body is a modification of matter. Physical body is involved in activities. Sense organs are nothing but prakriti gunas, modifications of matter. They are involved in functions. The physiological functions, of course, are all material products. Pratik prakriti gunaha. What about the mind? The mind, the emotional aspect of it. Prakriti gunas. What about the intellect? Of course, prakriti guna. Intellect is also prakriti, product of prakriti. Prakriti gunaha means prakriti's products. Therefore, only intellect, mind, then sense organs, organs of actions, physical body, all the subtle and gross aspects of the individual, they're all nothing but material products. They alone are involved in activities, functions. Who is the karta? The kartrutva. The doership is attributable only to the body, mind, sense complex, the material products. Therefore, definitely, there is no doer other than the material products, other than the gunas. Gunebhyaha anyam kartaram drashta na anupashyati. When a person very clearly understands where this fact that there is no doer at all. There's no doer at all other than these gunas. Other than these gunas means other than this body, mind, sense complex, the material products. All material products imply what? Gunas. Okay. Who is? Of course, matter by itself cannot do any activity. But it is the matter which alone is involved in activities. Matter by itself cannot do any activity, but it is the matter which alone is involved in all activities. Gunebhyaha anyam kartaram yada na anupashyati. When a person, when this seer clearly understands the fact that there is no doer at all other than these gunas obtaining in the form of body, mind, sense complex, the material products. Okay. Gunebhyaha cha param veti. And there is atma, there is the reality in the form of pure consciousness, which is implied by the term atma. The pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the truth of I, obtaining as the truth of the entire body, mind, sense complex,
that conscious being, consciousness is free from doership, and that is distinct from the gunas. Distinct from the gunas means distinct from three gunas. Nai sattva guna, na rajo guna, na tamo guna. Three gunas distinct from all prakriti, all material products. Distinct from body, mind, sense complex. Gunebhyaha, gunebhyaha param. Gunebhyaha param means the one who is distinct from three gunas. The one who is distinct from three gunas means the one who is distinct and distant. One who is not distant, one who is distinct and different from the matter, the material products, the body, mind, sense complex, the three gunas. That is Atma. Gunebhyaha paraha Atma. And the person, yaha, gunebhyaha param veti. The person who understands the Atma, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma, being distinct from the prakriti gunas, distinct from the trigunas, distinct from the matter, material products, body, mind, sense complex. That person, he says, one who understands Atma being distinct from all of them, saha, madbhavam adigacchati. Madbhavam adigacchati. Adigacchati means he attains. Madbhavam. He attains. He remains one with me. He attains my nature. Madbhavam adigacchati means, but Krishna says, he attains my nature. He becomes one with me. He attains my nature. He becomes one with me. Who is the one who attains my nature? He sees himself being non-different from Bhagavan essentially. See, attaining Bhagavan's nature means what? It is not physically attaining something. Cognitively appreciating one's own self being essentially non-different from Bhagavan the whole. Is attaining Bhagavan's nature. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? This person attains my nature. Krishna says, because in direct speech, saha madbhavam, saha madbhavam, madbhavam saha adigacchati. Madbhavam saha adigacchati. He attains my nature. Krishna says, which means, he attains Bhagavan's nature. He attains Bhagavan's nature means he becomes one with Bhagavan. Which means he recognizes, he cognitively, he appreciates, intellectually, cognitively, he appreciates the fact of his own essential nature being non-different from Bhagavan the whole. Who is the person who sees very clearly the Atma, one's own essential nature, the content of I being distinct from three gunas. Seeing the Atma being distinct from three gunas means seeing the Atma being distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, the material products. And who are involved in activities then? He sees the Atma being witness, a distinct witness, not involved in any activities. And who is the doer then? Who is the one who enjoys the, who is involved in all activities, enjoying the doership? Like it's only the one who sees very clearly it is the body, it is the mind, it is the intellect, it is the sense organs, it is the organs of actions, it is the physiological functions, it is these are the material products, these are the prakriti gunas alone or associated with the activities. Anyam kartaram gunebhyaha anyam kartaram yada na pashyati na anupashyati. When a person does not see at all a doer other than the three gunas, when a person does not see a doer other than the material products, body, mind, sense complex, that person, he sees only the matter as the involved, being involved in activities. At the same time, he sees consciousness being distinct from the gunas and not being involved in activities. That person, he becomes one with Bhagavan, means he attains Bhagavan's nature, means he cognitively appreciates the essential oneness of the whole. He sees himself being non-different from Bhagavan. Is it clear? See, without the blessing of Atma, presence of Atma, matter itself cannot become doer. There cannot be doing on the part of the, any activity on the part of the matter. At the same time, consciousness by itself is not involved in any activities. The mere presence of consciousness enables the matter function, enables the matter to be active. That is the fact. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gachyati. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gunebhyascha param vetti madbhavam sodhi gachyati. Here we have to stop and let us understand certain unfoldment here onwards. When we say gunebhyaha, important verse here, gunebhyaha, gunebhyaha paraha, gunebhyaha param veti. Veti means knows. The person who knows the one who is distinct from the gunas, that person alone becomes, attains Bhagavan's nature. Gunebhyaha paraha. What are the gunas here? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. Three gunas belong only to prakriti. Of course, we have to become predominantly mentally sattvic, and for which you have to live a life of karma yoga. That is fine. But three gunas means the matter is nothing but three gunas. Three gunas are nothing but matter. Three gunas are nothing but expressions of the power, shakti, the matter. Therefore, all forms of activities, all forms of functions, well, associated only with the matter. There is something in the, because of whose presence, sannidhi, because of whose presence, these inert material products, these material aspects become conscious, sentient, and functional. They're alive. All activities, thinking is possible, knowing is possible, seeing, hearing is possible, physiological functions are possible, life is possible, the whole physical activities are possible, discoveries are possible, accomplishments are possible, everything is possible because of the blessing of Atma, the consciousness. Consciousness is just the presence of consciousness, is only all pervasive reality. That's why we say, presence itself is a blessing. Consciousness blesses means what? Doesn't need to do anything. Presence is a blessing. The presence of light is a blessing that we are all able to see each other. The presence need not do any activity. Simply, presence of consciousness is a blessing that inert matter becomes life, lifeful act, lifeful matter. Every physical body is a living, has a life because of the blessing of consciousness. Means there's a manifestation of consciousness. Pooja Swamiji used to emphasize this fact. It is not a mere presence of consciousness. Of course, consciousness is timeless reality, is ever present. Ever present consciousness is not important. The consciousness which becomes manifest alone lends life. Okay? Even the non-living thing, Swamiji always liked this, Ishvara. Why Bhagavan, why Ishvara has to be given importance? Because consciousness manifests is Ishvara. The manifest consciousness alone lends life, makes the activities possible. Okay, everything is, even the experiences are possible. Otherwise, consciousness is there in deep sleep state also. Where is activity? There's no manifestation. That's why Ishvara. Okay, consciousness manifest is Ishvara. And that consciousness, the manifest consciousness, which is distinct from the manifesting media, the whole body, mind, sense complex becomes the media through which consciousness becomes manifest. The life is possible. Activities are possible. Therefore, who is the karta? Is consciousness the doer? No. Consciousness is not doing anything. Definitely, consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness. Consciousness implied by the term Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. It does not do anything. Because why it's not doing anything? Because it is does not move. It cannot move. It is all pervasive, subtlest reality. There's nothing which is beyond consciousness. Consciousness is beyond everything. There's nothing beyond consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is not the doer. At the same time, then who's involved in all the activities? Only gunas. But Prakriti by itself independently cannot be active in the presence of consciousness, because the blessing of consciousness, okay, because the manifestation of consciousness, there is life activities on the part of inert material products. So gunas alone are involved in activities. All functions and activities are associated with the gunas, means only matter. Body, mind, sense complex. So, gunebhyaha anyam kartaram na pashyati. This person, the person of clear vision, does not see another doer, does not see a doer other than the gunas, other than the material products. At the same time, he also sees the one who is distinct. Beyond means distinct, not far from matter. Distinct from the matter, non-distinguishably obtaining distinct consciousness, obtaining as the witness, obtaining as the truth of I, that consciousness is gunebhyaha paraha. Gunebhyaha paraha. When he sees, and when he sees that, how should he see that? He must claim that consciousness as one's own nature. He must claim the consciousness as his own nature. He must see, arrive at it as the very truth of the I. So having arrived at consciousness as the very truth of I, he must be able to see that consciousness being the very truth of the entire mind, every thought. The consciousness manifests the very truth, which lends existence for the entire body, mind, and complex. Thereby which lends existence to the entire world, external world also. Therefore, and one who sees the consciousness being distinct, that person can understand, sees that consciousness as one's own essential nature, attains Bhagavan's nature, means he can see essentially the standpoint of consciousness, the manifest knowledge being non-different from Ishvara, Bhagavan, the whole. This is the vision of the oneness of the reality. That's what is said in this verse. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sot madbhavam Sodhi gacchati. Saha adhigacchati. Saha madbhavam adhigacchati. Yada gunebhyaha param veti. Tada madbhavam saha adhigacchati. Only when a person understands the Atma, the consciousness implied by the Atma being distinct from the gunas, the material products, then only the person attains my nature. Saha madbhavam adhigacchati. That person attains then my nature. What Bhagavan says here. That is why here the in this verse Bhagavan sort of presents the analysis of the three gunas. Where did he begin? Bhagavan began his discussion of gunas from verse number 5. And there onwards until now, he was discussing about the gunas. What happens? The gunas are predominant. In keeping with the predominance of gunas, how there's difference in attainment of lokas, the results, etc. we saw. Now here Bhagavan presents the analysis of the three gunas. He concludes his analysis of three gunas in this verse. It means how many verses now? We can say almost 14 verses. So Krishna discusses, presents the analysis of gunas, which he concludes in this 19th verse. Thereby, by concluding his analysis of three gunas, Krishna really conveyed an important basic fact. What is that important basic fact? Important basic thing is there's no human being, no living creature is free from three gunas. Okay? No human being, no living creature is free from three gunas. All living beings are subject to these three gunas. Why? Because the physical body, mind, and sense organs, this entire, okay, all these different aspects which compose, which constitute a human being, okay, all this body, mind, sense complex, our physical body, mind, sense organs, all these different aspects, subtle aspects, gross aspects, which constitute the human being. Together you can say all these material aspects together are known as ahankaraha. You know, you must remember this. Why these material products, body, mind, sense complex is given, has the status of being ahankara with manifestation of consciousness. Okay. Chidabhasaha. Chidabhasaha means manifest consciousness. The body, mind, sense complex with the manifestation of consciousness is known as ahankaraha. So we can say that there's a difference between dead body and the live body. What is the difference between dead body and the live body? Dead body also is pervaded by consciousness. Live body is also pervaded by consciousness. What is the big difference? Difference is in dead body, there is no manifestation of consciousness. In live body, there is manifestation of consciousness. See, consciousness is always there. It cannot go anywhere. Consciousness is there pervading everything. The only difference between dead body and the live body is consciousness is present in both the bodies, but in the live body, we can call it live body because of the manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, the live body, mind, sense complex with the manifestation of consciousness is said to be ahankara. The dead body, there's no ahankara. It's only why there's no manifestation of consciousness. There's no I sense. Dead body will not say, hey, my body, don't touch. Don't take me to the crematorium. Will not say that. Suppose this ahankara, what would have happened? This ahankara, come on, don't, how dare you take my body to the crematorium? Jump out on the dump, under the box and go. You can't do that. And there's no ahankara. There's no I sense. Dehatma buddhi is not there. There's no I sense in the body, mind, sense complex. Which means there's no manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness is, but there's no manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, this is ahankara, must understand. So the manifestation of consciousness, otherwise known as chidabhasaha, okay, is the entire, all subtle, gross, material aspects which constitute the human being, body, mind, sense complex, alive body, mind, sense complex, with chidabhasaha, the manifestation of consciousness is said to be ahankaraha. Therefore, this I sense manifest the body, mind, with identification of the body, mind, sense complex, is naturally subject to these three gunas. So I must be either sattva pradhanaha or rajah pradhanaha or tamah pradhanaha. Predominantly rajasic, predominantly sattvic, or predominantly tamasic. Okay. The I sense cannot escape the gunas, but either one can be predominantly sattvic ahankara, predominantly rajasic ahankara, or predominantly tamasic ahankara. That's how it is possible. This is the important point we have to remember. Then, whether sattva guna, whether a person, whether ahankara is, whether this ahankara is cannot escape the gunas, subject to three gunas means, whether predominantly sattvic or rajasic or tamasic, still, a person is subject to bondage. Unless and until jnanam takes place, there's no way of freeing oneself from bondage. Is it clear? A highly predominantly sattvic person also is bound by samsara. A rajasic person also is bound by samsara. A tamasic person also is bound by samsara. So only jnanam can free a person from bondage. Therefore, whatever is the predominance of guna, still gunas are subject to ahankara, subject to bondage. Therefore, ahankara, which is subject to gunas, is bound by samsara. So unless and until jnanam takes place, there's no way of freeing oneself from bondage. This is another point, important lesson you have to remember. Therefore, it is important for a person to gradually prepare his mind to become sattvic mentally so that it will be possible for him to attain jnanam to free himself from bondage. It's also another lesson. So, the person of sattvic ahankara, the person of tamas ahankara, all are bound by different things. We already have seen how hattaguna binds, how rajoguna binds. Do you remember that? Remember those lessons? How tamoguna binds? If you don't remember, you have to go back and listen. Okay? All these three gunas also bind a person. Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayati. We saw that how each guna also binds. Therefore, the next thing is, as long as a person is bound by these gunas, he is not free from bondage. He is bound by samsara. How to free oneself from gunas? One need not free oneself from gunas. One, if a person discovers one's own real nature, he can claim his own nature being nirgunaha atma. Therefore, a person has to become nirgunaha. Okay, to free oneself from bondage caused by gunas, one has to discover one's own self being nirguna atma. How he can do that? Important lesson which will continue in the next class. Is it all right? An important lesson. That's why I'm stopping because I need more time to unfold, and then I think we'll be more fresh. We start from the beginning. How to free oneself from bondage of samsara. Because naturally, the ahankara is bound by samsara. What is ahankara? Manifestation of consciousness identified, associated with the body, mind, sense complex is ahankara. So in fact, body, mind, sense complex, the manifest consciousness, chidabhasaha, is called ahankara. Ahankara subject to bondage, which means you are aham or ahankaraha. What are you essentially? Are you aham or are you ahankara? There's a cognitively one has to shift one's identity from this body, mind, sense, matter to atma, the consciousness. Is this manifest consciousness, I sense, identified with the body, mind, sense, complex is ahankara? And identified with the pure consciousness, its a source is called aham. Is it clear? Aham, anatma, individual, body, mind, sense, complex, or aham, atma, brahma. As aham, atma, brahma, nirgunaha, you're free from bondage. As aham, ahankaraha, as ahankara, you're bound by samsara because you're subject to three gunas. Ahankara is subject to three gunas, they'll be bound by samsara. So to free oneself from bondage of samsara, one has to free oneself from gunas. How are you going to free yourself from gunas? Just by shifting your identity from anatma to atma. That we will see next class. Is it all right? Any questions from today's class? Any questions?
Namaste, Swamiji.
Yeah.
Krishan. Hello. I just wanted to ask a question. Obviously, everything is a composite of these three gunas. Yeah. On an individual level, how do we find our constitutional mix of gunas? What combination of gunas we are on an individual? Is that through self-evaluation does a teacher tell us that you're this so much rajas, this so much sattvic, this no, so much?
Your own life, see, the Bhagavad Gita point shows us. Mm-hmm. So how clear you are, what you're inclined to know, what your inclinations are, that's what I'm saying, where there's ignorance, where there's indolence, where there's dullness, where there's no inactivity, it's all tamas. And where there's activity, where there's passion, where there's ambition, where there's rajas. So you will know but repeatedly when you are exposed to teaching, you will know what you are.
Yeah.
Predominantly. And accordingly, whatever it is, what Shastra, see Shastra teaching, what it helps you to understand is, we don't need to worry about whether I am predominantly Sattvic, Rajasic or Tamasic. Mm-hmm. What I need to accomplish, my Purushartha is Moksha. It's a choiceless goal. And for which I need only Jnanam. I need to see clearly
without physically undoing, pushing the body, mind, and complex away, without undoing anything here, just cognitively, I have to appreciate the essential oneness. What I am essentially must become very clear. What I am essentially must become very clear. Only in clear vision of what I am essentially, one can see the essential oneness, that one can see oneself being free from bondage, is the ultimate goal. But it doesn't happen overnight. When I say it, it sounds very easy. Oh, seeing one's own essential nature will help a person see the essential oneness of the whole, and there one can discover one's freedom. But for to have such a discovery, one must become mentally prepared. And for the mental preparedness implies, for mental relative mental purification, steadiness is possible only when a person is mentally prepared, and for which implies a person must be predominantly sattvic minded. So one cannot become predominantly sattvic minded overnight. Okay, nobody can become overnight sattvic minded. We are all sattvic. All of us are sattvic in the mornings. All of us are the tamasic in the night. Okay, that's different. We're all rajasic during the daytime. That's a different thing. But predominantly, mentally, we are sattvic, tamasic, or rajasic. What we are. That is very important. That overnight we cannot become. That is why, first of all, a person has to become predominantly rajasic. Okay? And rajasic means don't need to plan to become rajasic. What Shastram says, understand, know your duties, do your duties, always be a contributor, don't remain a mere consumer. Mm-hmm. See, there must be, I do breathe, I do intake oxygen, I do inhale oxygen, I do drink water, I do consume my food 3 times a day, I eat, I enjoy the benefits, my accommodation, I walk on the road, I breathe, so I enjoy what is in the world. This consumption is on my part, I must be contributing also. Yeah. So I must know my duties. What is my duty? I must know what is possible within my limits. I must be able to do. Know your duties, do your duties, and be conscious of dharma. Do anything. What is possible for you to do? Do in conformity with dharma. It's called living life karma yoga. So Shastram tells, don't worry what you are predominantly. Just live a life of karma yoga. Understand this way of life called karma yoga. Live a life of karma yoga. Then once you decide to live a life of karma yoga, naturally you'll be active. And being active, that is for which you make use of your willpower. You make use of knowledge of right and wrong. That's why you pray to Bhagavan to have a stronger will, to be able to be active, to do the appropriate things. Then naturally, the tamasic person, that is how tamas becomes driven away. That is how tamasic person gradually becomes rajasic. And as a rajasic person, when you continue to live consciously a life of dharma, naturally, in due course of time, you'll become predominantly sattvic also. And that will help you understand the teaching, that will help you gradually, then that will be different. That will contribute for what needs to be done further. The clarity will dawn. That is why Shastram teaches, we don't need to worry about what I am predominantly. We don't need to calculate also. Just do what is to be done. In conformity with dharma, prayerfully. Be prayerful, be worshipful, seek desperately Bhagavan's grace to have a strong will, to do the right thing. Do it. Do what is possible for you on your part. So gradually prepare yourself. Become rajasic first in order to become sattvic.
Brilliant.
See, isn't it? Then naturally you're taken care of. That's why following the way of life enjoyed by the Shastram takes care of your well-being. You don't need to worry about it. Naturally, effortlessly you will become sattvic minded.
Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamodachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.